What I would like to do in the time today is we're going to discuss the right tools for the right job at the right time. You know, you just make a note of Revelation 3, verse 8. It's a verse we all know. It says, I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door. There's always been an open door for this work to be done, this end time message that God wants to get out to the world. And God has kept that door open, and he has always provided the tools and the people to get his work done. So let's have a look at how it happened, because we've got to really start around 600 years ago. Because around about 600 years ago, in 1440, was when Mr. Gutenberg started printing. And without printing, Bibles would have been few and far between, having to be handwritten. But of course, with the printing press, God's word became available. And then 160 or 70 years later, of course, we had the authorized King James Version of the Bible, which of course we use to this day. Again, the most basic fundamental tool of the trade, shall we say. And then we come to this end time work. The job is laid out in Matthew 24, verse 14, which we all know the scripture. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. That was what Jesus Christ decreed. And it would happen, and indeed it has happened. It's happened within God's church, but of course the rest of the world have gone down a totally different road. They're quite happy to talk about Jesus, about what he did, about what he said, about who he healed, but they're not interested at all in the message, because the message is all about world government, and that's why we're here. So if you want the ultimate takeover bit, yes, this is where it is. This is the nest of iniquity here, shall we say, as far as the world's concerned. It certainly seems strange when we look about and we look at ourselves and we say, well, can it really be us? Well, look at what's going on. First of all, God chose a man. Now, many people, again, have argued about this, but to me, there is no argument at all. That man was Herbert W. Armstrong. And he took him, and he worked with him, and eventually he was baptized, ordained, and he started the end-time work. And in January 1934, the first Plain Truth and the first radio broadcast occurred. Mr. Armstrong says in his autobiography, on that tiny powered radio station, KORE, I believe it was 100 watts. That's hardly enough to fire up a light bulb, you know? In that infant mimeograph to Plain Truth magazine, Mr. and Mrs. Armstrong had to sit there put the plate on the drum and sit there and print page one and then print page two and so on. 250 copies. But he said that was the start. The going out of an astonishing message. Now I want to read you what he wrote in the editorial on that first magazine. If this doesn't get the hair on the back of your head standing out, it certainly hit me when I read it. In these anxious days of stress, turmoil and strife, of revolution and economic collapse, of war and fear of war, of confusion before a bewildering onslaught of creeds, dogmas, fables and false teachings, the Plain Truth makes his humble and modest appearance. I mean, he could have written that yesterday. Except that the Plain Truth, as it was, is history. It came, it did its job, and it was destroyed. Truly a man before his time. Then we had travel. Mr. Ford got going with his little Model T, and of course, after that, cars became very popular in the States, so travel became cheap and fairly fast. Again, Mr. Armstrong was then able to run around servicing people in all sorts of different areas. He wouldn't have been able to do that 20, 30 years before. You can't get too far in a day on a horse and buggy. In 1928, in his autobiography, Mr. Armstrong said, this is 1928, the first all-talking motion picture was shown in New York in 1928 on July the 6th. He says, this was preparing the way for our filming the World Tomorrow broadcast. You don't think about it, but there are people in this room who can remember going to the cinema and there was no sound. You'd have a man in the corner doing his thing on the piano. Yeah, that's in our lifetimes. That's how much things have changed. 1947, we have Ambassador College formed to train the ministers to do the job. And then in 1955, the World Tomorrow went on television. Very small, but again. Around about 1970, when I was at Bricketwood, involved in the photographic department there, we had a problem. We were printing the Plain Truth magazine. But we were also printing, obviously, the English version, but we had German, French, Spanish, Italian, quite a few foreign editions. And these are all done on plates. And the problem is you couldn't just make one set of plates. You had to make a set for every single magazine because in each language, the words take up a different space. So it was chaos. So you'd run the January Plain Truth and you'd be getting geared up for the February Plain Truth, but at the same time, the people making the plates were working flat out to get each of the foreign editions going. And it was chaos. It was absolute chaos. It got done every month by right on the edge. In other words, the January foreign editions came out just before the February British edition came out. And just at that time, a computer came along. Probably took about most of the space of this room. Had to have a non-static floor. Everybody walking around with cotton things on their head and cotton things over their thin cotton. Nothing metal on them or anything. Great big drums of tape. And it was a real beast. But what it did was, it took the print for the different languages and shrunk it slightly so that it fitted into the same space. So all they had to do was take the typeset, shrink it down to fit the actual original plate with all the photographs on, and run it. So then what happened was, we ran the English their Plain Truth, followed by the French, followed by the German, and by the end of the week, it was all done. Amazing. You could probably do that on one of these watches now, the computer chip that's in them. And then we had the labourers. Plain Truth articles back in those days, I was involved in the photographic side, but a Plain Truth article, on average, would take a month to prepare. A month. Because if you wanted to do research, you had to... Obviously, you had the Bible, but if you wanted other stuff, you had to go to the library. In some cases, you had to go all the way to London to the library. It took ages. Sometimes you'd have 3 and 4 people working on the research for one Plain Truth article. It was expensive. It was time-consuming. Then, of course, we came to that wonderful Feast of Tabernacles. I can't exactly remember what year it was when we had the first live broadcast from the States. I think but... 1990? No. It was before then. Before then, because we were still in England. But I remember we had this live from Mr. Armstrong, and I think it was one of the southern feast sites here. But the important thing is we had this 12-foot dish and 2 huge trucks full of electronic gear, 2-inch cables running all over the place like spaghetti, and we had this live broadcast, Mr. Armstrong speaking live from the States. Then we come to the, again, round about the 1970 mark, when Mr. Armstrong started going to the world leaders. The executive jet was becoming the in thing. They got the fanjet Falcon. They then got the Gulfstream. You see, Mr. Armstrong could not have done what he did without those aircraft. It would have been totally impossible. The schedule that he ran younger men into the ground. I went to the airport once to help pick up the crew when they came there. And Mr. Hunting came off the plane looking like he hadn't been to bed for a month, followed by one or two of the other ministers. And then comes Mr. Armstrong, you know, strutting away there. And I said to Mr. Hunting, I said, why didn't you guys get some sleep like the boss? He says, we did. He's been out working all night. Yeah. The younger men, who were probably in their 40s or thereabouts, then, 50, you know, they were all dragging their tails. But Mr. Armstrong had that place kitted out like an office. He'd sit there with his old 2 fingers and rattling away on the old typewriter. When Mr. Armstrong died in 1986, we had 8 million Plain Truths going out. We had booklets, we had books, booklets, you name it. We had a work going. We had over 1,000 ministers worldwide. We had round about 1,000 churches worldwide. We had a budget of $200 million a year coming into the work. That's astounding, isn't it? $200 million. And then in 1995, around about the December time, We had one sermon given by one man that literally shattered God's church. Shattered it in a way that I suppose looking back we should have seen, but I don't think we did. However, it happened. But what also happened around about 1995-96 is the internet took off as a commercial tool. You see, the tool for the job was there. You might not realise it, but right now, almost one third of all the people on this little planet Earth have access to the internet. Over 2 billion people have access to what I'm saying now. I mean, that is astonishing. If God directs it, we also have the ability to go back and listen to material in the sound archive. So if you want to hear a sermon that somebody gave 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago at the feast, it's all on the internet. If you want Mr. Armstrong's books, his booklets, it's all on the internet. And I was just talking to Mr. Bowles about this when I was preparing the sermonette. And the question came up, you know, are we doing the work? Are we doing a work? Because Mr. Armstrong completed Matthew 24 verse 14. And when you put it in this context, think about it. This is an amazing truth. Mr. Armstrong's booklets, books, sermons, Bible studies, World Tomorrow broadcasts are more available to the world now than they have ever been. Think about it. When he was alive, go back to 1986, if you can cast your memory back to what communications were like then. It was tapes. Remember those funny little tape things that were in a cassette? Not anymore. So this little flocklet is, in effect, putting Mr. Armstrong's work out there, along with others. There are quite a few websites out there that are putting out Mr. Armstrong's work. His words still resound around the world to those that God wants to call. They're still all there. If Mr. Armstrong were to be resurrected right now and see how much of his material was available, I think he would be absolutely stunned. You know, you used to have to write in for a booklet. It took a week, 10 days, 2 weeks, whatever, and you got the booklet. Now, you go clip, 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 it's on the screen. You see, the tools are always provided to get the job done. We have it here, we're sitting here with a little laptop, a few bits and pieces of cable, and you can hear my voice anywhere in the world that who cares to pick it up. Mr. Armstrong never had that privilege. You can make a note of Revelation 11. You know, it says when the two witnesses are killed and they lie in the streets of Jerusalem, the whole world will see them. The whole world will rejoice. Now, the interesting thing is the tools to make that happen, we have them now. So perhaps that gives you some ideas as to where we actually are in prophecy right now. The tools to do that job are here now. They're in that little box lying on the desk. Christ tells us in Malachi 3:16 that those who feared the Eternal spoke often one to another. Yeah? There's somebody down in Australia, there's somebody up in Denmark, somebody over in one end of the States, two people in Texas, 1,200 miles apart in the same state, a few people in England, and I believe, I heard there's a rumour, there's a few people up in Canada somewhere, isn't there? I've got to be careful though, I'm meeting Mr. Pippi in a few weeks' time. That could be dangerous. Again, with a little box of tricks, we've got emails, the chat room, phone calls. When I was at college back in the 60s, I used to have to phone Pasadena to get information on what they wanted and so forth and so on. What you had to do was, you had to go to the switchboard to Mrs. Suckling and book an international call. And she would then phone the operator and book the call. You may wait an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. In fact, it might be the end of the day before you get your phone call. And when you're connected, we used to have a little piece of paper on the desk saying, remember, it costs £1 per minute. Yes, £1 a minute to phone Pasadena. That's what it cost. Nowadays, we've got such low cost with Skype, of course, it's free. We can phone, we can talk, we can even have video over the Skype thing, which I've not tried yet, I'm not that brave. But you see, the open door is still there. Every week in the update, effectively, what we have are two plain truth articles, or good news articles, however you want to put it. And they're written on a weekly basis. Now, writing's still hard work, but when you do research for an article now, get into the old Google, you can find anything you want in minutes. It's that quick. The system we've got, the tools that we've got today, enable us to put all that material out there that Mr. Armstrong made and make it available to the whole world. It doesn't matter where people are. If God wants to call them, they can get the message. As he said, I've set before you an open door. I'd like you to turn to Hebrews 13 verse 5. Because this came, when I was preparing this material, and this verse came to my mind, because if you think of all that we've been through, and it's been pretty tough. Families have been split up. Church areas where we had several hundred people have just vanished. We've got, as somebody said, we've got we are the salt of the earth, and the earth is on a very low salt diet. It's just a sprinkling of people. Hopefully a few thousand that are hanging in there and still trying to hang on to the truth. But it says in Hebrews 13 verse 5, "Let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Eternal is my helper, I will not fear what men can do to me." God has kept that promise, and he has given us the tools to do the job.